that shared the gospel with us, those that lived the gospel in front of us. Thank you for individual people, for experiences. But Father, beyond that, thank you where you take our eyes to where they were looking, to the one who made us, to your means for us for knowing you. Thank you, Father, for opportunity to take our place among those that you have redeemed. And we take our place to carry out that mission. Help us, Father. We're skeptical of ritual, and yet we long for stability. We are longing to know our worth. We're so afraid of being lost in something bigger than us. Father, thank you when we can see the privilege of not having to be the best, not having to have everything together, but being able to say, I'm a part, and you have a plan, and I want to be part of that plan. Lord, would you change our desires so that whatever our personality, that those desires are directed heavenward, that we look not only to obey you for a sense of right and wrong, but that we love the one whom we obey. Show us yourself. So help us as we think a little bit about what we're doing here, the engine room of the church. Help us to be careful with our thoughts, remembering that the goal is not just getting our opinion out and agreeing or understanding. Our goal is to end up doing our part in our generation of building up what you desire, building up, weakening what you want weakened, so that heaven's values are carried out, your will on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for the part we get to play. Help us to show reverence and honor to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about how we build a church. Don't know how to do it. The bottom one? Back, connect. Okay. Sorry. And so we've been looking at the two things that are driving us, that we stop focusing on just on individual growth and instead look to build a healthy church. God is creating a people, and he has a way for that people to live and to interact with one another. So we're looking to build healthy churches. And in order to do that, we have to look not just at the surface of what we're looking at. There will be fruit in the Christian's life, but there are many ways to mimic that fruit or to give credit to something to God that he is not looking for. We must look to the roots to get healthy fruit. We've been looking at that in different areas of the church, including what we do in these services together, our public worship services together, in how we build relationships, and a couple other areas. And we've been specifically working on culture. As we finished that section here, I said we're going to have reading time. I pulled three articles that I've been reading, and I would like to... I want a slide added on, I thought I added it on comments, just comments from the article. So just write blank slide and just put comments or something. Okay. I started reading last week. I have two more articles after this, and just the goal eventually is you look these up. We look all over the internet for whatever we want. Follow some of these sources. Again, if you're not careful, you find what you're looking for, and you go, well, you found what you're looking for. All right, we're using the tools that are available to us, and the internet is a valuable but dangerous tool because it allows us to be in the driver's seat all over the place. But I want you to realize that what we're talking about in here is being talked about out there as well. Maybe what you're interested in is being talked about as well, but this is a bigger discussion that we need to think about. So last week, as we started this, we sum up the first part. I'd like to read it again, but I won't. Relevance in a church. As we watch the churches fall, they went to some of the big ones, Mars Hill, Hillsong, etc. You often don't know them by their church. You often know them by their music videos, and we often don't sing a lot of their stuff, but it's often what you hear on the main Christian radio stations, okay? And what we're looking for is where they're focusing, how they are building. Realize that every time you see a Christian movie, it had to come from somewhere. It had to come from some Christians putting it together, all right? Love to see the arts go forward, but love to see them go forward in a theologically accurate way. So as these groups are falling, it says here, if I summarize, relevance, all right? Relevance is no substitute for reverence, and indeed may compromise it. Relevance is no substitute for reverence, and indeed may compromise it. Things like confession, repentance, daily obedience to the whole counsel of Scripture, quiet commitment to spiritual disciplines aren't cutting edge, won't land you in a GQ profile about hype priests. But these are the things that make up a healthy, sustainable, long obedience in the same direction faith. With every hip church that closes and celebrity pastor who falls, more and more Christians are hopefully waking up to this fact. Title of this is In Praise of the Boring, Uncool Church. Maybe boring, uncool, unabashedly churchy church is actually a good thing. Maybe a Christianity that doesn't appeal to my consumer preferences and take its cues from Twitter is exactly the sort of faith I need. It's counterintuitive, though. In the moment, a large church crowded with 20-somethings, eager to hear the celebrity pastor's sermon and enthusiastic in their singing of arena rock worship songs, seems like an unassailable triumph. Because our metrics for success in the American church have for so long mirrored the metrics of market-driven capitalism, bigger is always better, audience is king, we assume if a cool church is packed to the gills with cool kids, it's working. All right, I hear this all the time. Your church must be doing okay. You have a lot of kids. Okay, girls. You know, you say, well, we're done. Okay, well, then where are the kids going to come from? Oh, VBS. Oh, where are they going to come from? All right? We're dying. What? How does a church grow? But if it's working, then why do so many of these cool kids end up deconstructing? But some people are sick of that word, and they're saying, we used to just call it apostasy. They went away from the faith. For deconstructing is this pretty word to give them credit for, oh, they're taking their faith apart. Nope, it's apostasy. I'm not saved. Why do many of these kids end up deconstructing, leaving the faith, quitting church within a decade? I've seen it too often. The long-term outcomes for the hipster church movement are abysmal. There are many reasons why deconstruction is surging among millennial Christians, and recognize there's a group after millennial Christians, okay? But be careful. It becomes an easy whooping post. You realize if you talk too badly about a generation, they're saying, okay, then what place do we have, all right? You need to think of a way back rather than just bash on them, okay? But there are many reasons why deconstruction is surging among millennial Christians, but I'm convinced one big cause is that the relevant churches that reared these kids set them up on a flimsy faith foundation. I'm going to argue, even in this church, we are not discipling our own. Now, it doesn't mean I'm right with everything, but before you agree or disagree, you need to figure out what I think that looks like. Where's the bed from which that comment comes? What would discipling look like? And it's not if you pay attention to somebody, they will turn out. That's not it at all. There's a whole bunch about teachable, what determines teachable, how valid is somebody else's thoughts and feelings, okay? And so that's another discussion, okay? But this is not just those churches do that. I'm saying I've seen many That's what's discouraged me about, even when we look on a Nine Marks church map for churches in the ballpark, we're singing the same songs, reading the same books, I still am not feeling that they are understanding how to reproduce what they're reading and preaching. There's a disconnect between the words said up here and how it's getting inside of our lives. So instead of being firmly rooted in the old story, their churches framed faith in terms of the new. Instead of being called to holiness, because we're so afraid of what that holiness looks like, that it'll lead away from God, their churches call them to relevance. Instead of being steeped, you got to think through what relevance means. Relevance is not bad. It means here, now, it lives. What lives? Instead of being steeped in doctrine, roots, not fruits, robust ecclesiology, I think that's what's missing. Robust ecclesiology is the box in which Christians thrive, serve and thrive. It isn't, when people see the box as constricting, they're not understanding. Remember, you want to be in the Olympics? You take the best small town star, okay, and you keep finding coaches that don't say, you're amazing. You say, I think I'll take you on. that needs to change, right? So the structure, when you go, I can't breathe in here, come on. I went to Bob Jones back when it was called all kinds of names for all the rules. Every one of those rules was able to be broken. It's amazing how creative people can get when they decide that we're going to do this and we're not going to get kicked out. It's amazing, all right? So this whole thing that the box is taking away my freedom. You stop being wimpy. You can find ways to accomplish what you want inside of most boxes. Think about free journalism now in China, in Hong Kong. How are they going to do that? All right? Instead of being called to holiness, their churches call them relevance. Instead of being steeped in doctrine, robust ecclesiology, and theological orthodoxy, where do ideas cross the line from possible to heretical? They were steeped in, and here's the phrase you've heard us use, moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic, right and wrong, therapeutic, no, that healthy, make you healthy again, restore you, deism. God's up there somewhere. Honestly, I accuse Adventures in Odyssey of some of that. Moralistic, therapeutic deism, right? They're helping you, it's a good story, but you very rarely feel the character of God growing and his word doing anything but moralism inside of Adventures in Odyssey. Okay? Not a problem, but you must recognize it, or it becomes Christianity. The long-term results speak for themselves. For those who are part of churches like this, you're right to be jaded. It's no wonder you're deconstructing. We've also said deconstructing doesn't always mean apostasy. It means you're going back and examining why you did what you did. That's a good thing. Just do it carefully. Again, under God's word and among the saints. But there's a better way. Instead of the cool church full of people who look like models, find the most faithful church full of people who are growing to look like Jesus. Instead of the church where everyone shares the same tastes in style and music, find the church where everyone shares a passion for Jesus, his word, and pursuing holiness. Maybe a Christianity that doesn't appeal to my consumer preferences and take its cues from Twitter is exactly the sort of faith I need. Instead of the church with the most charismatic celebrity pastor, meaning you just stay alive, you're just excited to listen to them, all right? Find the church where Jesus is the biggest star and the pastor is humble, approachable, low-profile guy with a long track record of integrity in life and ministry. Instead of the church of reinvented or fresh Christianity where discontinuity with the past is a virtue, discontinuity with the past. They did it this way, we do it this way. Meaning, we're not your grandma's church. Find one where Christian history and tradition are known and celebrated, where continuity with the past is treasured. I'm always imagining a day, all right? If you haven't seen our little fun video from our visitors a few months ago, go look on our church Facebook page, all right? They even have hymn books. You get it? Yeah, ha, ha, ha. See, we've been saying for a long time, just having them in the pews is becoming a problem. But you got to realize what it was. It used to be a collection of the songs not only your church sang, but many Christians sang. You took it home for the piano that somebody could plunk out something so you could sing the songs you sang at church together, a hymn book. Now, like Spotify, everybody has their Spotify list, right? Albums, CDs, used to be able to put, remember, Radio Candy was the one or two that the radio would play. And then after the one or two Radio Candy, they were able to hide in a few that they thought were valuable that the others wouldn't like. And they crafted a whole album. It had progression, a story. Now we pick out the parts we want. Instead of the church that caters to your comfort, always affirming but never challenging you, find one where you'll be uncomfortable in a way that pushes you to grow. A church where holiness is more important than seeker-sensitive experience. This last one has been especially transformative in my own faith, which I wrote about in my book, Uncomfortable. This is Brett McCracken, Senior Editor and Director of Communications at the Gospel Coalition. Once we embrace the inevitable awkwardness, discomfort, and cost of Christian discipleship, we won't be surprised by challenges at church. We'll stick with local church life even when it's hard, and thus we'll have a better chance to grow. Once we embrace the uncool but beautiful reality of the local church, our faith will likely become more gritty and sustainable. This is consistent with feedback I've received from readers, often former hipsters, over the years when I've written on cool church issues. They share how their faith has thrived more in uncool, not hype churches. Just last week, I received this message. Sadly, most of my friends who sought to be part of cool Christianity have walked away from God. I'm probably in the most boring church I've ever been a part of, but I've never felt more loved as part of a church family, had a solid teaching, and grown the most in my faith as a result of it. Another reader wrote, "My desire for cool church was like an add-on to the gospel. Jesus wasn't enough, so my church social circle had to also make me feel better about myself." These testimonies are encouraging. While some veterans of cool churches end up deconstructing or quitting church entirely, others came to see that being the bride of Christ is beautiful and worth it, even if she's dressed in a frumpy Kohl's frock, rather than the latest runway coocher. I don't know how to say that word. Okay? In a world of dizzyingly disposable trends, so much seems to collapse as quickly as it arrives. Brands, celebrities, movements, institutions, ideas. When we misconstrue faith as just another thing in the consumerist stew, it too becomes a flash-in-the-pan fashion, as fragile and fickle as the latest viral trend on TikTok. Right? Some of you that say, "I don't know what TikTok is, it's stupid, it's ruining the kids," maybe you just need to watch it, and you go, "Eh." No, why are people watching it? If you can't answer that question, stop critiquing it. Well, because they're dumb, they're immature, stop. You can't love your neighbor, you can't be a missionary to all these thousands that are watching. You say, "Well, I don't have to watch it to..." You have to find what the pull is, or you are just attacking something that they're going to just duck from. You have to understand what's going on that's drawing, exactly what's drawing them. The life of Christian faith should be altogether different. A long obedience, a slow burn, a quiet diligence to pursue Jesus faithfully with others in community, in good times and bad, for better or for worse. Will this form of plodding, old-fashioned Christianity go viral on Instagram or get featured in GQ? Probably not. but it'll actually grow Christians to maturity and help them run a long, steady, and fruitful race as it has for countless saints over two millennia. I pray that I and you too will be counted among them. In praise of the boring, uncool church. Go ahead. What are you thinking? It's a lot to take in. You're not seeing it. I thought of putting it up on the wall for you, but most of you have phones, you have computers. I think Cindy even put it up on the website. She's watching, listening in the background here. She's taking notes on these Sunday schools a few weeks behind, a month or so behind. I think so, yes. Yeah, please, anybody that's finding stuff, go look, all right? You know, what we're missing in Flash on the website, there is in Substance, all right? If you go on there, we've got links to free training courses on there, theological courses, all right, Cheryl? Is it tied to the Sunday school? Yeah, so go in under Living Faith, capital L, capital F, one word, and when you go into the Sunday school, I think she tied it to there, okay? To last week's or this week's, I think. Go in there and look, okay? Yep, Megan's checking for us. Last week's. It's tied to last week's, okay? Learn that and help each other get on there, all right? We're gonna make the technological curve here in ways that are helpful, okay? Cindy's also working on... We bought like CCEF conferences for the last 12 years, and she was going to put them up there because we have licensing problems where they didn't want us just having it in the library. But we were allowed to put it up for a certain amount of time. And so, meaning, talk to me or talk to Cindy on this stuff. There's resources for you, all right? But you can look this up on your own. But anyway, just give me thoughts. Careful with the bashing thoughts, all right? Because if you agree, you agree. If you don't agree, whatever. Maybe you didn't even follow what was said. But give me insights. What are you thinking as you listen? Maybe you don't remember, so then it's not a problem. If you don't say anything, I get it. It's a lot of information. Just general thoughts. What's crossing your mind? Darla. All right, you know my story, right, that I told the beginning of this a year and a half ago. Did I mention when I went to Bob Jones, it was not so much pro-Bob Jones as it was what's going on with all the schools in my circle, right? And so we wandered into areas we never would have gone into, okay? When I got down there, I felt like a fish out of water, right? I was no longer... the most conservative guy that I knew, which I'd always been all my life, and loving Jesus included Bill Gaither, which was naughty music down there. Instead, we could listen to Star Wars, which I wasn't allowed to listen to my whole life. You know, meaning my sense of morality, it was like, what's going on here, all right? But there was character, there were things, all right? It was just an upheaval of worldview. Remember what I said, if I hadn't been raised to stick through something, I would have left there. I had relatives telling me, get out of there, okay? I stuck it through. Got to the end, went to Columbia Bible College, where my mother's uncle had been the choir director for 30, 40 years. They used to be said in the same sentence as schools like Bob Jones, but it was a shift going on down there, all right? Just crazy the other way. I cried tears of joy when I got there and saw what, you know, my dad talks about New York City, seeing little groups of guitars sitting around in the hippie movement or whatever, Greenwich Village stuff. I saw that around that campus. I saw people sitting with a guitar singing praise songs, and I thought, Thank you. Finally free to be able, these people are enjoying Jesus, enjoying studying, there for a purpose. It was a mission school. After 1 year at that school, I was so disenchanted because it was so free, there were no boundaries. Everybody I asked, I said, why are these black women in there studying for the ministry as pastors? I said, are you okay with women pastors? They go, well, you know what? We're just here to teach. That's up to the churches who send to make all these decisions. And on that went. Is kind of just like, well, this faculty member, this is academic freedom. This one believes this. This one is the opposite. I thought, would you guys just take a stand, whether I agree with it or not? Would you just take a stand? Don't smash it over, you know, don't kill everybody who disagrees. Take a stand, prove it, head in that direction, so then I can have the freedom to understand that and then understand the other. When you put all the choices there, it would seem like nothing was solid anymore. Nothing was solid. I remember the 1 year I was there, they sat there and said, we used to be a mission school. We're wondering why so many now are coming here to a mission school and don't care about missions. What happened? They're so afraid of forcing people in a direction they didn't want to go that now what do you stand for? Perhaps even if the choices aren't right or wrong, and that's what you need to explain as households, let alone here at this church, I'm tired of defending. I mean, remember, some of my sarcasm comes from every single thing we do in here needs a million verses, total proof behind it that it's the best way. I get, you know, and that's why the sarcasm of, no, we stand for two, sit for one, and we have you here all week long, you know. It's like, yes, it is more than other churches now, but why did those trends change? And can you look outside of your experiences to see that we are not cool enough to come up with this stuff? We're just following patterns that were there before, and we're concerned about what they lost when it changed. So we're in progress, but we're just slow to change. And you go, yes, that's grandma's church. Careful. Maybe grandma wasn't so bad. Doesn't mean that everything she did was right, and that's part of the problem. I think of that every time you go to Sight and Sound, you find buses filled with grandmas. I think maybe they're just having their youth group. Okay? Maybe nobody discipled all of them. I don't mind them going to Sight and Sound and out to eat. But after you're not careful, you don't get on all the kids for never doing anything. All right? They're busy having the time of their life doing whatever they want. How would they use their retirement to serve the kingdom all the time? Okay? Noah's Ark out. They're all filled with senior buses. Senior buses. And the money going to keep these things going. It's not wrong to go, but what else are we doing? Too many choices. Jim? No, but he does jump on a trampoline. Go ahead. Did you hear that? If I'm engaging people with what I'm learning, not only in here, but on your own. What matters? Jonathan? No, whatever you want to say. Of what they want to communicate what we learn, who God is. Go ahead. Adding instead of adding. What? Thank you. Okay. Instead of adding, all right, I'm gonna re-say it. I gotta remember it first to write it, and then I'll say it. It's not going to try from sufficiency of gospel. All right, in attempt to make the gospel more palatable. All right, palatable. That I think the food on the trip is amazing. All right, of course I got to say that my wife's making a lot of it. Okay, but she takes polls for most of the kids to see what do they like and what don't they like. But you're never going to get them all. All right. So along the way, you see the kids picking through potatoes, sausage, peppers, and onions. And it's like, no, this is not a salad bar, guys. You're supposed to take a spoon of it and put it on your plate. And they're like, no peppers, no sausage. That makes me barf, okay? No potatoes, right? And it's like, well, why didn't we put three little dishes of all those pieces, right? The same with the tacos. Do you like refried beans or don't you? Those that like refried beans had a refried beans taco, refried beans on top of refried beans, okay? And everybody else got no beans, okay? Because there weren't no beans left, all right? But then what do you do to make it more palatable? They think, all right, is this what you want? Look, we are big enough to be able to have what all of you want. I just was told recently, you want to grow this church, right? You need a better website and a better building. Careful. Careful. I think if you build it, they will come. Well, we don't want them. Oh, really? Then stop saying, how many do we have at VBS? Well, can I ask that? Yes. Do we notice that? Yes. If they came, what did they come for, and what are we going to do with them? If they come to the service, what would be the path for our little RV visitors to be the best disagreeing members this church had? Would they stay? Isn't that cool they graced us with their presence? I'm not picking on them. I'm saying you grace somebody else with your presence. In attempt to make it more acceptable, instead of adding to the... They're trying to say, look, God is enough. Here, come. You can see it this way, you can see it this way. By giving them what they needed to call it a good church, he's saying perhaps we detract from the sufficiency of the gospel. The gospel. If you don't know what that means, you say, Jesus died for my sins, I got that, let's move on. No. Somehow, Jesus dying for your sins is supposed to help your anxiety. It's supposed to help your feelings of betrayal. It's supposed to help your sense of purpose. Okay? Where is it? Whew. Nicole. Right. Back to what Darla was saying. She's like, choices, okay, we don't always have to argue, was this the right one or wrong one? It's just, there it is, choices, 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 choices. And all of a sudden, I keep wondering about Paul. We sit here and read a ton of the New Testament. We go, this is God's word, it's inspired. It was Paul. Why was Paul seeming to have to fight for a place for his argument among the churches that he helped to plant? His voice wasn't the sole voice. It wasn't that it was just Paul or not Paul. It was there's so many other voices. When you're all done with everything, How do you not just get the word to back up your opinion? You just sit under it. In his law, he meditates day and night. We're not looking for just some feeling of nirvana, all right? Or Zen feeling. But we are saying there's something you just sit there and go, you know, what were you thinking about? Well, I was just wondering, in thy presence is fullness of joy. How do I be in the presence of a God that I can't see? In between Abraham being talked to by God 3, 4, 5 times, what did he do the other 100 years? What did that look like for him to trust God and know that God was here? In front of my mind, back of my mind, to the left and to the right. God is present and God knows me. Not deism, not he's far away. He is here. He is with me. What does that mean? And don't just take it apart. Sit there and dwell, because he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? That even good attempts, my critiques on, you're not to disciple, you need to study people. The more hungry people are for God, the less concerned they will be that you said it wrong. It is because we are immature and there's been so much shallow gospel given that you must understand who they are. But the reason I speak out of both sides of my mouth is the more you focus on them and they don't realize you're focusing on them, they're going to demand that the rest of their life. They're going to demand that their mentors be like them. And we want our mentors to be more like God. I'm concerned that if the Apostle Paul came in here, we wouldn't want to be around him. You say he's a little harsh. Yeah, whoever. Fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. Okay? And I'm not saying I'm it or you're it. I'm saying we've got to sit through and think even good attempts at relating. Minimize. Life-giving word. I love that 2 Corinthians verse that says, the God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And you said, well, what did that look like? Remember? Let there be light. And there was light. He just spoke the words. The angels didn't run to get the switch. Right? He spoke, and the speaking, the God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one, Lazarus, come forth. He's shown in his word. Somebody said that on the trip this week as we were talking about transforming grace. We were saying, I think there's a disconnect as we read the Bible between what it's saying and not only how we're living, but how we feel it relates here. There's no connection. They were saying, if what we were reading is true, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this one will be blessed. That word, it puts you in a place of blessing as you continue in it. John 8, if you continue in my word, you are truly disciples, mine, whatever, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's a living word. Sarah. So the phrase that I'm using in my family, and I need to follow my own life, is turn on your high beams. Not just what will this look like when you're 60 or 80, how does this impact eternity? How does it, not natural to analyze our desires for their eternal effect. Therefore, what happens, and you see that with kids. You say, well, I'm really good at getting a kid quiet. Okay, but if you had to do it by standing on your head with 10 tricks, you know, what does that look like when they get older? You say, well, they're not screaming and they're not hollering. Yes, but then quietly they're still saying, it's not right. It's not right. I hope you figure it out. I don't mean anything against you or anything, but it's not right. They're looking for you to find those 10 tricks again. They can't even put it into words. They're just doing that. Sheldon? It is.
Like, there's no way you can compete with it.
And right.
And it's like, we almost feel like this is a unique situation, like nobody's ever been up against it. And there's no way we can compete with it. But then, as you were talking, I was thinking about what I remember someone saying once that when the
Greeks. Romans, I you're going to have to remember this because I'm not going to get everything that he said against and continued confidently, okay, confidently according to God's word. He said the Jews had the monopoly on God. So I go to Sam's yesterday afterwards, after the trip, because it makes sense, right? The gas is always cheaper there at Sam's, and you're 5 miles away on the way back. Problem is, I was the bus for the youth group, so I had 12 in that van, okay? So I go through, and I said, if we came 3 hours earlier, Saturday is amazing at Sam's. You get all the samples, right? But we didn't, so I would have wiped them out with 12 people eating their samples. But we come to the checkout line, and this lady, turns out she's from the Dominican Republic. She goes, oh, you brought your whole family, right? Right. So you know, then we go this, well, it's a church picnic. Oh, what church, all right? Cornerstone Bible Church by Shady Maple. That's the only friend. Nobody knows Bowmansville. Shady Maple. Okay, well, I go to da-da-da-da-da-da church, okay? And up in Reading, Bethany Baptist or some Tony Perez, the pastor, not the baseball player, and then I said, hey, where, you know, help me. What's your background? And what school did he go to? I don't know. I'm going to ask him. She texts her pastor. Then she says, will you record your question in here? I want to ask him. Well, I didn't even give her my name, but my voice is on her phone. By the time I get out, I said, when did you come to know Christ? And she go, you know, she says, when I was 18, I'm 62 now, and she's just beaming, right? Short little lady here, like, you know, broken accent, okay? And, you know, telling, you know, lane one here, you got all these people lining up. And so I started telling them which lane to go because she's talking to me. She says, good, now you work here, all right? And I kept talking to her, and I said, I just looked at her, and I said, why are you not Catholic? And why are you not a charismatic? Because she kept talking. She said, we're Baptists. I said, aren't most of the people in your country? I don't know. You know, maybe Jose can tell me. I don't know what you know about them. I just know a lot of those countries are Catholic, and I know the charismatics have swooped through there. And she talks about, there was this lady, right? There was this lady that taught a, I don't know, was it a club or a class? She said, I kept going, and she kept telling me, about what it meant to be born again. She went through the plan of salvation. She said, I listened to her. She said, it changed my life. And on and on she went with her testimony until she comes in. She didn't miss a beat as she wanted, and she couldn't stop praising God and wanted to keep talking. And I felt guilty because she's on the clock and needed to keep going. But as you look through this here, you're thinking, we can't beat the charismatics. And give us a building, and others have tried that, and a website, and you're right, it might do some. What would you be happy with? 10 more people? Which 10? Which 10? Right? I would also think people want people like them in the church. So whoever walks in, you need to have somebody like them. Every time you said, there's nobody like me in here. See, if you give people like them, and people need enough people that they can be lost in a crowd. They want to be able to get what they want in a church. They want to have a family feel, but they want to be able to have their own circle. So you have to have people to lose yourself in, but small enough that they can still feel like we know everybody. Right? It seems insurmountable until you remember what we were called. That's why I want you to read church history, let alone biblical history. You're goofy. You're goofy if you think that this is the only time this has gone on. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to the cool church have fled? I love my church. I hope you do. I hope you do. Where is it? John? All right, so I get a tough decision when we go on these trips. I want us and our kids to go to other churches, not to be critical. I want to encourage the other churches. I want to see what's going on in others. And just like I love when my kids go to your house, not just to eat your food, I like when you're different than my home, okay, for good and for bad. For good and for bad. I want to help analyze what the kids see. Don't try to mimic me. You be you. Okay, but what I wrestle with is if we are struggling to get the hearts of our own kids and they're not following our own desires, I've told the youth group for years, stop trying to figure out where I'm different from your parents. Figure out where we're both wishing you would head. Figure out where we're both wishing that you would head. Okay, but what I'm concerned about is when we're having struggle getting them even where you want them to go, where I want them to go, where God wants them to go, whatever that looks like, then what do I do when you go to another church and the very things you're looking to see happen aren't happening? You won't want to be critical. I want the kids to learn to look for, well, what do we do in this situation? If you moved in and this was the only church in the area, how would you care for these souls? How would you grow in this church? But what concerned me is a friend from college said, oh, yeah, we have a meeting. Most don't. I thought he didn't. His website said they didn't. But he said, no, we're meeting. We're going through the purposes of a church or something like that, Baptist distinctives, and then we're going to break for prayer. The women are over here. The men are over here. I said, okay, good. We're in. Right before I went, he sent back and said, oh, our youth guy heard you're coming, and we got you covered. You can sit for the teaching part, but then we're going to take your kids outside and play volleyball with them, and then we'll give them ice cream afterwards. And I thought, I told you guys, the prayer meeting is dead. Nobody's here to believe in corporate prayer. You just said to keep the kids there that this will bond them together to play volleyball. Hey, we got a better net back at our campsite. They had a good net. All right, But then I thought, what do we do? This is their hospitality. They were trying, all right? There were redeemable things. There were kids there, only a couple kids there. They were ecstatic to be with our kids. I'm glad for that. So I don't want to be ultimately critical. You want to care for where they're at. But again, the stuff we're talking about, you know the statement, what you win them with is what you won them to. What you win them with is what you won them to. You have to think about, if we keep having to hold them together by other things, all right, we won't be here to eat brownies with each other in 20 years. All right? I love to hear you laugh. I love your personality. I don't even mind when you get mad or upset. I just want to see that in 20 years. And I want you to be growing more like Christ. Not like me, not like them. And then we'll get to eat your favorite recipe. If we don't keep that focus, you're going to take your brownies with you. There, who was it? Where, Olga? Yeah. Things in the world. Mm-hmm. What is so attractive? She's saying, what is so attractive about relevance? Now, we could argue with her statement and go, in order to communicate, they have to understand. Understand what? See, when you go, now I understand, now I understand, now I understand. Okay? But we have to say that what is, this is what Sarah was saying, what's of substance here? This is what I've said, is what do I do? What do I do? I remember that when we had a big split in 06, I remember thinking, all right, you're saying I'm doing this and this and this and this, and if I did this and this and this, then you would be happy. I thought, do you realize as you say, this is what I need to be happy at my church, do you realize the only one now bending their convictions is me? You know, my dad? It's not, it doesn't have to do with Horgan. It said you want the freedom for your conscience. Was it your conscience or was it your desires? It's very important because I feel twisted with all the theology that I study. You go, well, you might be wrong. Yeah, but do you want me to go over my conscience? You say, no, you don't have to go over your conscience. We're just gone. I go, okay, well, how would you help change mine in a godly way? How would you change mine? Because isn't that what you want me to do with you, with any leaders, Pastor John? You want us to let the fear of God change you? How do you change some of the things that you're holding on to that you think are essential that might not be essential? How do you change that? That's going to be the long process. So she's talking about relevance. Maybe we focus too much on the us in trying to understand each other. She's saying, remember, graphic equalizer. We didn't say get rid of understanding us. We said maybe we need it to be a little more of, I don't know, that's what they do in heaven. Let's go. All right? Was there a fire? All right. You hold your... All right. It's 17. Please write it down. I have two more articles. I want you to talk. Lord Jesus, would you help us? It is nice when our Sunday schools have point one, two, and three, when we progress. On the other side, would you help us individually, organically, to be having discussions about these things that would cause us, as we're reading Scripture, that would cause us, as we're reading articles and looking for things, to maybe think again, to consider what others in this room are saying, for us all to be suspicious of ourselves and want something that's eternal. Which, how can we want something eternal when we can't stomach anything from the past or looking at where these things are going to lead? Would you help us, Jesus? We are weak, but you are mighty. Back to what Sheldon said. These uneducated men are drunk. And there was something else going on that made them continue. Lord, would you hold our attention? Would you take our discouragement, our blah feelings, and would you, for the love of God, for the power of your name, would we trust your word that there is a way forward that might at times look boring and simplistic. Help us to be careful not to take pride in the wrong things. Help us to boast in the cross of Christ. We come in Jesus' name. Amen.